Blog Talk Radio.
You. Ready. Good evening, podcast audience. It's Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, and it's time for the world premiere podcast, The Attic.
The Attic
is an urban-based podcast. All founding members are from the beautiful, toxic state of New Jersey. Now, my team, the folks that helped me put together this podcast, I got Big Brother, the Messenger, got my baby sister, and my baby brother. We have Sister Tippy, and we have Nurse Carmen. Now, if you'll give me 60 of your minutes, guaranteed to entertain you. And again, we want to make Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, an event in your podcast life. Every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, we want you tuned into
The Attic.
I was feeling that. I'm sorry. I know I said that last week, but I'm still feeling that this week. And probably next week, I'm going to add a little more, synthesize it, whatever, to it. And we're going to take it up another level. But hey,
good evening. My brother.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. Did you say from the beautiful, toxic state of New Jersey?
See, that's just what I said. I'll be listening. That's what I said. Thank you very much, man. I wanted to see, hold on. Wait a minute. I wanted to see how many weeks that song was going to play before somebody picked up on that. But yeah, that's what I said. Okay. Hey, but listen, it's Wednesday night. It's 9 o'clock, and the cast of The Attic is ready to entertain you. Again, this is a weekly urban podcast. And again, it started out as this is what my brothers and my sisters and I do when we come home or before we left home. That's where the whole concept comes from. And again, just to be perfectly frank, we just talk about shit on this show. Again, our perspective, maybe it's mainstream, maybe it's not, but it's our perspective. And on the Attic podcast, we give it to you, and we give it to you like we feel it. First of all, before we go into our topics, how's my cast doing tonight?
Good. Doing well.
I'm a little toxic, but I'm good.
You're toxic, but you all right? Baby sis, you all right? You good?
See? I'm good, bro. All
right, somebody give me some static and feedback. Okay, we good. Hey, but listen, again, we all from Jersey, man, and I'll tell anybody, have no plans on living there, but I'm so glad that I'm from there. Tonight on The Attic, what we want to talk about to start the show off is the money that's being thrown around the NFL. I say like the rapper said, they playing with them millions like they hundreds. You know, that's how they throwing money around in the NFL. And I gotta say that the people, the players, are now starting to get hip to the game, and the players are bringing their own shit to it. You know, and in particular, number one on the list right now, we got my man Antonio Brown. I mean, hell of a ball player, but he got a lot of shit that he bringing with him. But my thing is this, and again, I'm sorry, I side with the player. If I'm going to make you billions, then you have to give me a bigger cut. Now, I understand that the owners put up the capital. I understand that they should get a nice profit, but I'm sorry. I think players all over the league should start saying, you know, I'm sorry, fuck that. No, that's not what's going to happen. And if my skill set is sufficient enough, then I can play that hand. But the problem is, see, everybody can't play that. Everybody can't do the Antonio Brown or the Ezekiel Elliott. So, you know what I'm saying? You got to pick your spots. You know, because you might, I'm sorry, don't get mad at me. You might be one of them cabinet niggas and can't come back. You feel me what I'm saying? Your skill set, yeah, I'm just saying, your skill set wasn't sufficient. That'd be like, you know, we got to have him. No, we can do without him. So, but what's hey, your, but, what's your, you know, what's your, go ahead, talk to me.
I'm sorry, but believe it or not, that's the way basketball used to be too, until they just decided to band together. I mean, I know it's a little different with football because of the lock hole that the ownership have on it, but basketball used to be the same way. They had no say in nothing. It was just that whatever they tell them to do, that's what they had to do. But then they, at each collective bargaining agreement, they got more and more involved in it. And now the sorriest guy on the team, nobody's sorry because you're on a pro team, but the last person on the bench is making $3 mil, guaranteed.
Well, but, you know, like I said, having a son coming up playing football, again, who made it as far as college or a little semi-pro, I understand that, man. I'm sorry. Unless you go through that, far as the years, the broken bones, the bruises of coming up with your kid to that point where now he's at a professional level, I'm telling you, if you can demand that kind of money, I'm sorry, and this might sound greedy, but yeah, always be in a position to renegotiate your contract, man. I'm sorry. Because if you sign me for $5 mil, but now my skill set is to the point where I demand much more, then you're going to renegotiate with me. And it doesn't make me less reputable because I want to continually renegotiate my contract. If I'm the best there is, then you're going to pay me like that because you're making money off me. That's just my feelings. Hey, new caller, how you feel about that?
Me? This is Harold, by the way.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm down in warmth, where it's warm year-round.
Okay.
I just left Jersey. I just left Jersey before the cold set in. I remember when guys weren't getting anything. So
right.
I don't have a problem. Get what you can get where you can get it, because when
yes.
your, as you put it, skill set is finished, they're going to dump you behind.
They're yeah,
gonna
that's
back.
What they're going to do.
So
okay.
I belong to the class that says, I guess I agree with
but,
you. Get what you
yeah.
can get while you can get it.
But if you take
very
that
simple.
Story, but if you take that story just a little further, I'm sorry. I know the story is supposed to be about money in the NFL, but I got to give Antonio Brown just a few minutes. You know he might not be able to play with the Patriots now. They got some shit following him on some rape charges or whatever. I mean, again, they're allegations, but the general consensus is he, whatever they said he did it. So now, even though New England gave him that money in a $9 billion signing bonus, it is my understanding that that's not guaranteed money. There's certain items in his contract that he has to meet in order to get all that money. But I tell you this, though, being an NFL fan, If Antonio Brown get his shit together and come on and play with New England, you know, that makes them the Golden State Warriors of football. Because can't nobody touch that. Because if he come back, Gronk coming back, and I'm not going to turn this into a football podcast, but that makes them kind of unstoppable, man. And they got Mr. Ice at the quarterback. But I'm a Giant fan. I got to get that out. I am a New York Giant fan forever. But I had to get that out. I'm sorry. A little podcast tangent.
You're not all bad. You're a Giant fan. You're not all bad.
Yeah, not all bad. I came back. I was a Cowboy fan. Yeah, I was a Cowboy fan for like 50 years. And then I just finally woke up and came on back home to the Giants, man. But again, they got all this money they're throwing around. And I say to all the players in the league, if you can get that money, get it. and if you can continually renegotiate your contract, because let me just say this to you with respect to Antonio Brown and these other players trying to get that money. You know they signed the quarterback, what's his name, Goff? I think, I'm not sure if he was the Raiders or the Rams, I think, to a $134 million contract, and they said $100 million is guaranteed. When you see that they're willing to pay some people that kind of money, then brothers, and when I say brothers, I mean all football players. It doesn't matter if you green or pink. Go get your money. They say, get your mother freaking cheddar. And never mind what people say about you being greedy. You got to get what you can get.
I wonder what them two dudes in Dallas are going to get.
Well, again,
that's
they took care of Zeke.
That's going to be
now, well, see, that surprised me because I really thought that Master Jones down there in Dallas was going to be like, listen, I'm a multi-billionaire without the Dallas Cowboys, so I'm not paying you anything. But, again, I'm glad he did pay him. Even though I'm not a Cowboy fan, I'm a fan of players getting their money. So I'm glad he did pay him. And I'm sure that that man going to be worth what they gave him.
But
you know, we talk about players jumping around in the NFL, again, trying to make sure they capitalize on all that they can. I want to also move this conversation a little bit over because we had a conversation about gun control. And during that conversation with gun control, I want to change it just a little bit. And when I say change it a little bit, I want to put another question out to the audience tonight. Let's say we approve gun control. Everybody everywhere can walk around with a gun. Now, here's the question. Because you have a gun, does that give you the right to come to the aid of others in distress? In other words, are you now what I call the social police? Because you can carry a gun, do you think that that's your right should be extended to that? Talk to me, Cass.
No, I don't think carrying a gun in public, that doesn't give you the right to provide self-defense. Unless carrying that gun and you're properly trained for it.
Okay, so but I'm saying,
you know, meaning by that is you have your skill levels up to be able to properly carry that gun.
Okay,
you're trained to be able to carry that.
But I'm saying I have my license. I'm authorized to carry this weapon, and what I'm saying is, if I have my weapon on me, and I see somebody else getting robbed, does that get me the authority and permission to brandish my weapon? And go and interfere with that?
I don't know if that's our authority. But
that's my question.
If we assume that we are our brother's keeper, you have a responsibility to defend somebody who is unable to defend himself. Simple as that. I don't think it requires debate. So then
that makes us police officers.
Right.
Well,
and that
one
of the When you get your gun, it makes you feel like you've been deputized. So some people go around looking for, you know, I wish a motherfucker would, because they just can't wait to use it.
But if you don't know how to use that weapon properly, it's a problem.
Even if you know how to use it properly, you got to understand that if we allow that to happen, all we're really doing is going back to the Wild Wild West. So we might as well get off our cars and get a horse.
My point that I'm making is it's twofold. It's two issues here. It's two issues. It's using it properly and knowing how to use it responsibly. So there's two issues going on here. It's twofold.
Well, again,
first the issue was we were having the guns to protect our homes for invasions and stuff. Now we're afraid of invasions as we're walking down the street. We're carrying the guns. Everybody got guns. We just keep stretching it and moving it and moving it. If it's in the home, somebody come in there, they got it.
I'm responding to the question that he just asked. He said, if you have a gun and you see someone, what was the question again exactly? You said if you have a gun and you see.
Yeah. Your license to carry a firearm. You have your firearm on you. You're out in public, and all of a sudden you see some criminals beating up on a lady. Does that give you the right to pull out your weapon and intercede? That's my question. In other words, are you authorized to be the new guardian angels? Are you the police officer? Because you got a right to carry your gun. That's for personal protection. I'm saying, you pull your gun out and you shoot that criminal, accosting another lady. Now, what happens? You know what I'm saying? Do you get tried for murder?
No.
Really?
It should be investigated.
Okay.
But if you...
Well, an incident just happened. An incident happened in regards to that. There was a woman out in Michigan. A woman in Michigan, you were in Home Depot. And while you were in Home Depot, there was a shoplifter stealing some... This happened in Detroit. Two guys were stealing, shoplifting at Home Depot, and they were fleeing the scene, actually. So they were leaving, all right? So they weren't even harming anyone. They were leaving the scene. And she heard, I guess, the commotion or whatever of it, and she took out her concealed weapon, and she fired off a couple of rounds at these two shoplifters. She didn't shoot them, but she managed to flatten the tire of the car that they were getting away in. And as a result of her pulling out this weapon and firing it, she is now looking at 18 months probation, and they stripped her of her concealed gun permit. And their reasoning is she could have shot an innocent bystander, and they hit her with reckless. What does it say here? Yeah, she got hit with reckless. Well, charged with misdemeanor and reckless use of handgun is what she was charged with.
If somebody's fleeing, you no longer in danger. You lose your right to use your weapon.
We can agree to that.
That's understandable. Even without the other thing. It's understandable.
She said she heard people screaming, and she thought somebody was in danger, and so she just wanted to help.
No.
That's what she said.
No.
If I carry my weapon and I got to conceal, again, unless I am in the private investigative or some kind of protection business, I'm going to say, again, now morals tell me with a weapon or without a weapon, if somebody's in trouble, I'm going to come to their aid. But if I have a weapon on me, I think the fact that I've got a weapon on me doesn't give me the authority to intercede in another altercation that didn't involve me and maybe put him down. I don't think that gives me that authority.
Maybe not authority, but you have a moral obligation to help somebody who's unable to help
themselves. Watch this. And again, we have that moral obligation, but that moral obligation might get my ass morally sent to jail for life. Now again,
chances
don't
are
get
no.
me. I'm
no.
just saying. All right. No.
Some people, when they put that gun on and walk out their door, they feel like the man is still. They're looking for something to happen to use it.
Absolutely.
There was a guy. There was a case down in Florida where this man. It was over a parking space. He knocked the man down or something, but then he started to walk away, and the man pulled out a gun and shot him, and tried to use that stand your ground law. But because the guy was walking away,
he lost it. He's going to do time. That case was he did the wrong thing. He in deep poop.
Well, again, that brings up
that's
the same question.
That's not
venomous. Again.
What about getting license plate numbers and stuff like that? White people used to be good at that. I'm just saying.
Because now
it's
okay to shoot.
Getting somebody license plate number.
No, now it's okay,
you know what I'm saying?
The girl that came
to that guy's door, I forgot where it was. Their car broke down or something like that, and she came and knocked down the door, and he shot her through the door.
Can't recall the story.
And then you stand behind that, you felt threatened.
Well, again, as I keep going back to the original question that I put to the cast, so if we agree with gun laws, and again, I have guns, but I'm not a big advocate of guns. I think, honestly, my personal opinion is nobody should have a gun. I'm sorry. That's just what I believe. You got a beef with me. Let's do it the old-fashioned way. And not that guns are only for beef, but you got your hands, your feet, and your head. That's what we'll fight with. But, I got to die because we have a disagreement. Man,
yeah, but everybody in a hurry now.
They
ain't got no time for that.
Yeah,
they just rather shoot you and keep it moving.
But but you shoot me, then my friends got to shoot you. Then your friends got to. You know what I'm saying? One death is usually never one death. Does that make sense? So I
simply
certain
say, circumstances, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, if you shoot me, somebody that I know gonna shoot you back. I'm sorry. That's just kind of how life has been for us. And then if my man shoots you, then they get back and forth and shooting. I'm saying nobody have no gun. Nobody. You know what I'm saying? If you got a beef, that's what your hands are for.
Oh yeah.
But not only that.
Yeah, that makes it even in my eyes. If nobody got a gun.
Yes. You're right, and that's what it should be. Again, not even police officers. That's me. Nobody has a gun. Police officers, you got that mace and you got that billy club. Some handcuffs. That's what you got, you know. But nobody carries guns. Now you have riot gear.
They got more stuff now where they're like using a lot more military stuff, meaning the police department.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. And again, when they provoke the crowd to get out of hand in that manner, I mean they need little heavier arsenal to get things back in control. But again, I think nobody should have a gun. And
They provoke that. They provoke that so they can use their toys. We got these toys.
Well,
they want to use them.
You know what? And you may say that might sound funny, but that's so true. When you spend all this money, billions of dollars in weaponry, at some point it has to be field tested. So I'm not saying that scenarios aren't created in order that you can do that, but let's get back to our topic here on guns, and that is, if you're carrying a gun, are you authorized to be the social police? You're walking down the street. Go ahead. What word would you like to call it? What word would you like to call it?
It's phrased wrong. You have a moral obligation to help your fellow man. If you see somebody in trouble, a woman being attacked or some 6-foot guy beating on a 3-foot guy, you have a moral obligation to step in. It's simple as that. We are our brother's keeper. Otherwise, what the hell's the sense of all of this?
But once again now, there's a difference between stepping in and stepping in with a gun. I'm not saying you don't, and don't get me wrong. And again, we're just having this conversation, but I'm absolutely certain if I've got my gun on me and I see a situation and I know I got the drop on the person so that I don't really have to worry about that kind of altercation, I'm going to brandish my weapon and put an end to that. I know that. And when I say put an end to it, get him to drop his weapon. You know, on some old cowboy shit like that. But
very good.
But if he won't and we got to get into a shoot-off, now I shoot him, he's dead. I'm facing murder charges because when we go to court and we testify, and his lawyer tells the court that I shot his client over a situation that had nothing to do with me, that's going to stand
in
real big in the court of law. I'm just simply saying I'm giving up my freedom.
No, you're not, because in defense of others is a legitimate reason for using it. In defense of others is a legitimate.
Okay.
defense.
Well, okay.
Suppose it's the wrong person. Just because he's 3 foot and the guy is 6 foot, who's to say that the guy didn't?
You say make sure it's the right guy.
He said, "Look, I'm gonna have to see some." Well, he said, "Before I unload this hot shit in you, I'm gonna need to see some identification, a birth certificate, and I'm gonna need 2 fingerprints because I, you know, I don't mind shooting you, but I gotta make sure you're the right guy, man." Hey, what?
That's my daughter would say. You funny.
Hey, watch this. It's only talking about the right guy. We haven't spoke about our leader in some time now. But you know what?
Not 45.
Let me tell you. We're going 45. Then we're going to bring it on home with 45. But let me tell you. You can't even make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. And it's funny, but on another level, I don't even have a word for it on the world stage what we look like. I mean, you know what I'm saying? No matter what it is that he puts his our president puts his hands on, he puts a spin on it, man. And sometimes a spin isn't necessary. He was doing a news conference about the damn tornado. He said he tried to point out whether the tornado was coming up through Alabama, but the news, the meteorologist showed the tornado wasn't coming up that far. And this man took his marker. His Sharpie, and they believe that he just extended the path of the hurricane so that when he said it was coming up through Alabama, he could be correct. And then he put that bullshit on TV and said he don't know how that mark got on his display. That's our president, man. That's our president, man. And that ain't, I'm sorry. That's not right. That's not right, man.
He don't deal in right and wrong. He doesn't. He doesn't care about right or wrong. His business.
He cares about right and wrong to him. Whatever's right and wrong to him, that's all he cares about. But he also sent word that if to the Weather Bureau to clean that up because they rejected what he said, and he had his boys talk to them saying if they don't clear that up and make the president right, some heads are going to roll.
See, and I'm saying, but for what? See, that, you know what? That's what you call I tell lies so much that it's important for me to always be in a position to tell another story. I mean, you know, I mean, when it's not even necessary. Hey, Prez, everybody knows you're not a weather person. Everybody knows you're not a meteorologist. So, okay, you meant Alabama is not coming up that far. So, what's this? That's a good thing. We don't have That's a good thing. But he said, since I said it, damn it, I was going to make this mark right here on this chart to show what I said is right. And see, that's one of those times when I don't think nobody would even been mad at you, Mr. President, because you was wrong on some shit like that. I don't even think that shit would have mattered.
But see, that's you know what I'm saying?
Didn't he cause some kind of panic by him saying that?
Nobody listened to him, I don't think, man. I don't think it was like that. I think it was just the fact of it was more, wow, this is our president doing some shit like this than it was the people in Alabama getting nervous about a hurricane. I don't think that was the issue.
No. They were, because when the president says something get ready to happen and they're talking about how bad that tornado was, they
exactly.
got a little hysterical.
Yeah, they were preparing for the storm to come that way.
No, man.
Based on what he was saying.
Well,
once again, you got to remember this. he got people believing he like God. What he say is the law is going to happen. And because he said that, that's why they freaked out. Because they don't listen to the real news. They get their news from him. Even Fox, I think, kind of went against him.
But no,
he's saying everything else is fake news, and what he's saying is the truth.
Yeah.
He did a
rally
in front of like 10,000 people, and he told them, do not believe what you see, do not believe what you hear. Only believe what I tell you.
Yep. Jim Jones.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Tell me that's not a cult leader. That's not a Jim Jones type move right there.
Well, see, but again, he on that bigger stage. He want to be that world leader. And I don't know, man. It's just sad is all I'm going to say. It's just sad that the simplest of things, he makes it into an event. But again, the real sad part is, because I am of the conspiracy-minded nature, it's when you see things like him making a big deal out of a hurricane coming to Alabama, there's probably some important legislation that just slipped through. See, that's how I look at our Congress, our Senate. While we getting the bigger the fiasco, the greater something just happened that we're not going to find out about until 5 or 6 years later.
Well, did you hear about what happened in North Carolina?
No.
In North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, that private election?
Yeah, the Republicans they told the Democrats, we will not be voting on any bills today. So the Democrats, they went to paid honor to, 9/11 victims and stuff like that, the memorial services. And while they were at memorial services and stuff, the Republicans passed a bill that the Democrats didn't want. And it went through because there were no Democrats there to object. Yeah.
See,
the North Carolina state legislature.
But let me tell you something, okay? There were some Democrats that helped make that happen. Period. Okay, understand that. They didn't just put that out there and everybody took off. There were some Democrats who knew that, hey, we need y'all not to come to work. I don't think you're going to pull that off like that. But it's still dirty.
No,
it's still dirty.
But that's the thing. Because he's showing them the corrupt way, what I'm saying? Go ahead and do your dirty stuff. And that's what some people in positions are taking advantage of.
And you got to think. I wonder, in the 4 years under 45, I wonder how many trillions of dollars have those people he really represent, how much money they made. Because, again, as I look at him, as I look at our president in all of the foolishness that seems to continually be in the newspapers and airwaves about him, I only think it's an abracadabra. I do. I don't think that there's anything legitimate about what he's doing other than selling the Donald Trump name while those who have positioned him in power are doing exactly what they want. And let me tell you something. If that is the case, then they have the perfect individual to be the forerunner for to create that distraction. Because when it comes to creating a distraction, our president, you got to give him the Golden Globe on that shit. You got to give him you can make an incorrect prediction about a hurricane or tornado, I'm sorry, and be wrong about it and make a spectacle out of it. Really? That's the leader of the field.
It's a distraction.
That's all it is. And again, I'm getting to the point where the greater the distraction, the more
the bigger the thing would be doing.
That's what it is. The more the watchdogs need to be vigilantly looking at what's going through Congress. What's going through the Senate. What's happening while everybody is out here looking at our president
Listen,
tell a mistruth
about. Senate can do, The Senate can do what they want to do. The House will never pass it, as long as the Democrats are in control of the House. So
yeah, but
let them go. Let them go to the front. It's not law. Both houses have to pass for it to be a law. So they can do what the hell they want. Let them vent if they want. It's not going to happen.
Well, they've got this thing called executive power.
That's how he rules. He doesn't need a Congress.
Executive power. He ain't power. Yeah. You know, nothing to Congress and shit like that. Everything he does is executive power.
And on top of that,
he's making money off the taxpayers' back. A military plane didn't land at a military base. It landed at somewhere close to his resort, something like that. He got paid off of that.
Yeah, of course.
And they stay at his resort. They use his hotels and stuff like that, and that's all to put money in his pocket and curry favors.
Listen, man, that's to me. Let me say this. Our president, again, this is just how I see it. Our president is on a 4-year world tour, again, marketing the Donald Trump name. I don't think that he's really interested in trying to regulate anything. I think that all he's concerned about is getting that Donald Trump name worldwide. And I think he knows he's only going to do 4 years. I mean, let's call it like it is. He's going to play that hand right to the end. But I think 4 years is more than enough for what he needed to do for those he needed to get it done for. In other words, there is a faction of people who support, finance, and allow 45 to be 45. Because trust me, if Obama tried any of that shit, 45 trying, there'd be no 44.
It goes back to Mitch McConnell. Everybody else is making money too. He's making money. He's doing deals and making money.
And again, because I think that they know that 4 years of 45 doing what he's doing right now to help those rich folks get richer, I think they've already got the fix worked out. So they know in 4 years, you know, the jig is up. Okay, we made $10 trillion. Come on, we can sit back for at least 4 years, and then we can start another or whatever it is that we do. But again, they got the right face man. They got the right man running the game for them. Again, when they need to make power moves, they send him out to do some things that's going to get the newspaper all riled up. And what's my man's name? He just fired. Oh, John Bolton. he just keeps shit going, man. Do anybody know why he fired Bolton?
Yeah, it was something about they only agreed on one thing, and once they got that through, he ain't need them no more. And that was the deal. See, all these people that been coming through there that was kind of contesting him, he ended up start finding the right people, like a Barr, to do his bidding for him. It's kind of like Putin. He following in the footsteps of Putin, dictators. Get everything,
okay.
Lock it down, and, you know, you control shit.
I said, who was John Bolton and what did he do? John Bolton was
the national, what's it called?
National Security Advisor.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
And what the problem was is Trump, because Trump thinks he's such a great deal maker, he wanted to get Al-Qaeda.
ISIS. Mm-hmm.
He wanted to get them over at, What's the president's retreat?
Oh, no, the Taliban at Camp David.
Camp David, he wanted to have a secret meeting there with him.
Okay.
Right, and Bolton just thought that was absolutely crazy. And so they was at odds and stuff, so that was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. And he never wanted the guy anyway. He just ain't had nobody else at the time. So most of the people that he get, he don't even know these people. But if they sound crazy, he all right with them until they do something to piss him off. But there's no, there's nobody that he really wants. The only people he really wants that he got in his cabinet is his daughter and his son-in-law. The rest of them, I ain't know nobody else, so I got them. He's got
that's
none
the
of them mean anything to him. And that's why they all kissing his butt, because they
if
know
you go along, if you go along with him, he's cool. But when you start putting up some resistance against some of the stuff he want to do, you got to go. And his thing is, he'll find somebody. If he got to go through 10 people in a year through that one position, he'll find somebody to get in there and act right. Once again, getting back to Barr. All that stuff Barr did, he did for Trump. Okay, Trump like him. I can use you. But the minute you cross me and go against me, I can't use you no more.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm sorry. Only because we on the subject of Trump and we talk about just unlimited power, so he thinks. Did you see where he was telling his people that he needs to get, he needs to immediately start having money moved over from military projects to get his wall up? And he don't really have time to wait. And if they do some things that may not be legal, he's going to pardon them. did you hear what I said? He told him,
yeah,
folks,
I couldn't believe
do
I couldn't
my,
believe that.
Yeah,
yeah, that is, that was unbelievable.
If you got to do something that's illegal, don't worry, because I'm going to pardon you. Now, whoa, man. But you know what? America, you sit back and you just let that shit roll. That's what you do. You Democrats, yeah, we want you Democrats, you just sit back and let that shit roll, man. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're still trying to get stuff to impeach him. I'm like, you got more than enough stuff to impeach him. What do you mean you're still trying to gather stuff to and doing investigating? It's right in front of your face.
The Democrats are playing that old bullshit again, because I'm telling you something. That's probably how deep 45 actual power really goes. That's why ain't nobody coming at his ass. So again, he seems like the type of guy that can call you up at home and say, "Hey, listen, yeah, last week when you were supposed to be in Congress, but you was up in the Aspens with whoever, you know, we got you on film." He seems like he got a book or the dossier on everybody, man. Because don't nobody mess with that cat, yo. And I can't understand.
See, once again, that's because they don't want to get primary. And once again, he got power, executive power. But once again, the real power lies with Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell know that. While Donald Trump doing what he's doing, you best believe Mitch McConnell is getting a lot of shit done that nobody knows about. Some of the shit you know about, but there's a lot more shit that he's getting done.
I think his power... His power lies in the fact that nothing gets done. He kept Obama from naming judges. And what happens the first thing? Trump now
so
has two.
You mean to tell me he couldn't keep Trump from doing things?
What do you mean? He don't care about Trump. He's
just like he kept Obama from doing things, he couldn't keep Trump from doing things. He don't care about what Trump doing. It don't affect him. The bottom line is he's putting judges in place that he's doing a lot of stuff. He's making money too.
For the next 50 damn years, they're gonna be running this country.
Yeah, because that's what this country unfortunately has come down to. I mean, really, how much damn money do you need? I mean, for real. How much is enough when it comes to money? And I hope one day I'm in a position to say, all right, I got enough. But I'm far from that right now. But how much, you know what I'm saying? How much is enough? Hey, listen, this is co-producer from the podcast, The Attic. And I want to say thank you to my cast and to the podcast audience for hanging out with us for this 45-minute podcast. Again, this is an urban-based show. We try to keep it interesting, but we try to keep it real. And when I say real, we keep it. Sometimes it can get real intellectual. We like to keep it real chill. Again, if you're looking for your local news channel, That's not what we do here. So tell a friend about the podcast, The Attic. It can be downloaded all over again. Wait a minute. Let me get to my other studio. I think I just came up on $1 million rhyme. But no, check out The Attic on Block Talk Radio and pass the word around. Again, we want to entertain you every Wednesday night. So check us out next week. So on behalf of the cast, this is co-producer saying, good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Come on. Some more good nights. There we go. There we go.
Good night. I didn't get my 3 minutes, but good night.
You know what? Hold on. You know what? Wait a minute. Because
don't worry about it. I'm just going to let it build up.
Okay. Good night,
I just wanted to know.
Good night.